All right, so far we've had a series of lessons on the I Am, who is the I Am of the world, and that is Jesus Christ. And we've talked about this as far as it relates to Jesus himself and to the Father, to the world, to the gospel, and of course to ourselves. We've looked at Jesus being the light of the world. We've talked about Jesus being the bread of life. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, I am the true vine, I am the way. In John 14, verse 6, he says, I am the way and the truth, which means to say, grammatically, I am the truth. And that's what we're talking about this morning. I'm going to take a direction on this, probably different than what you might have thought, because, first of all, I can. And secondly, because I think it's important to make a practical application with this particular lesson. I've done a lot of lessons on truth. You've heard probably a lot of lessons on truth. I'm not going to belabor the truth part as much. I'm going to really focus on the application part. But I want you to think about this as far as what Jesus reveals himself to be. When Jesus says he is the I Am, he's not the truth, rather. He's not saying he is just true, or that what he says is true, or that he just speaks the truth, although all those are accurate. What he says is, I am the truth. And that word the is actually in the Greek text. It's called a definite article. A little grammar course right here, okay? And so when we identify something as an or a or the something or other, we are pointing to something specific. Jesus is not saying, I am truth in a generic sense. He is saying, I am the truth. There is only one truth, is what he's saying, and I am it. Let me just think about the gravity of those words and how he identifies himself in that process, how he's using himself as the point of reference for that truth. So he's not giving us his opinion and then labeling it as truth like people do today. He refers to himself as the highest truth, the only truth, the best truth among men that is to be known. Everything he says and does and reveals to us is the absolute truth. He himself is the truth. Thought I'd get an amen right there, but anyway. This is powerful stuff. In fact, this is unprecedented because no one in the history of the world has ever claimed to be the truth. No one credible anyway. Think about that. No one can say that. And no one else has been able to provide the fulfillment of prophecy and then all the convincing miracles to prove that he is the truth. In fact, if anyone were to come up today and said, I am the truth, he has to prove Jesus to be a liar in order to do so, because Jesus said that he's the truth. You can't have two truths that are contradictory to each other. There's only one truth. And Jesus says, I am that truth. So, in the course of all this, Jesus does not appear to the world in order to validate my truth, or your truth, or our truth, or our generation's truth, whatever we think is truth. He came to declare the truth about himself, and about God, and about your soul, and about sin, and about salvation, and about the afterlife. This ought to be, to you, the most important information in the world. The reason I say that is because you're going to be directly and personally, intimately confronted with all of that information at some time in the course of your existence, not necessarily in this world, but most certainly in the world to come. So this ought to be something very important to us. And what that means then is that we're not studying Jesus' words, his I Am statements, just to write sermons or fill the time or even satisfy our curiosity. Rather, we are studying to find the truth about exactly who we are, what God says, and where we are going to be someday, and why all that is true. Well, with all that, let's move on. Let's talk about what truth is in a generic sense. Truth is the exact and accurate state of things as they really are. Truth is the facts and the evidence as they exist, independent of and regardless of any other factors or circumstances or opinions. When we talk about the truth, especially in the context of biblical authority and salvation, what we're really talking about is truth that God has revealed and as God sees it. Because whatever God sees is what he reveals, and whatever God has revealed is what he sees. And so we're not talking about there's the truth and then there's what God says. What we're doing is we're putting them together and says what God says is the truth. And the truth exists for good reason. If you think about it, first of all, the truth is necessary in order to establish law and order. You can't have laws unless you have truth about why those laws are made, and then truth about the intent of those laws and the application of those laws. Law and order depends on there being a structure, a foundation of what is true to begin with. Secondly, there is a need to defend God's holiness. God defends his holiness with what is true. Not what you think is true or what I think is true, but what is true. That's what he defends his holiness with. Not only that, but we need truth in order to defend or define what salvation is. Because your salvation cannot possibly be predicated, I hope, on the opinion of Chad or your opinion or the opinion of this congregation. And not only that, but when we have the truth, anything that is not the truth is not true. And so we use the truth in order, by its very existence, to define what is not true. Now, we don't have to identify individually all those not true things. All we need to do is know that this is the truth, and anything different than that is not true. And we could go so far as to say, as anyone who is not of the truth is not being truthful with themselves, with God, with what the Word says, and particularly with Christ himself. Those are big things. They're extremely important things. In fact, I'll go so far as to say your life as you know it now is impossible without truth. Because if you were to suck all the truth out of your life and all of the truth out of your existence and all the truth out of society, we would implode immediately. We need the truth. When a society is no longer interested in or pursuing the truth, it becomes destabilized. It becomes dysfunctional, and it descends into anarchy and moral confusion. Society may not always value the truth the way that it should, but it desperately needs the truth in order to survive. And your soul is very much the same way. You may not value the truth as a person. I'm just speaking about you as a generic you here. But the fact is, you desperately need truth in order for your soul to survive. And if you ignore what is true, if you ignore the truth, and if you ignore Jesus Christ, who says that he is the truth, then your soul is going to implode. It will be destabilized. Not only will it be dysfunctional through this life, but in the life to come, it will just utterly collapse. So, that's the bad news. Here's the good news. When we walk in the truth, it means that by necessity, we are walking with God. If Jesus Christ is the truth and we are walking in the truth, that means we are walking side by side with Jesus Christ, and that he is leading us to nowhere else but to the Father. That is where you want to be. That is where we want everyone to be. That is where everyone should be, is to be with the Father. And that's what God wants. And all is well when you're walking with God. John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus says, I am the way and I am the truth. In so many words, what he's saying is heavenly truth most certainly does exist, and I am the embodiment of it. Those who are honestly and sincerely and open-mindedly searching for the truth do not merely listen to what Jesus says, they also are drawn near to who he is. Jesus is not saying, I have the truth, like a possession or something to hand out for you. He says, I am the truth. I want you to just think about that. He's not a spokesman for the truth. He is the truth that you desperately need. And what that means then is that everyone who comes to Jesus Christ comes to the truth. And everyone who is earnestly searching for the truth, not surprisingly, comes to Jesus Christ. The two, Jesus Christ and the truth, are inseparable because you can't have one without the other. That's why Jesus says in different places that we're not going to pursue this morning that there are a lot of the Jews, for example, that he was speaking to his own countrymen that claimed to have alliance with or fellowship with or an agreement with the Father, but they were rejecting the Son. And Jesus said, in so many words, they are not true. Not just that they're wrong, but that they're false. They're false people because they're not rejecting the truth. Or not accepting, rather, the truth. They're rejecting that which God sent to them to manifest or to reveal that truth. Turn with me to John chapter 18, verse 36 and 30-38 here. The occasion here, as we've used this passage before, the occasion here is Jesus is on trial. He's standing before Pontius Pilate, who is the governor of the land of Judea at this time. He's a Roman official. He's the highest Roman official in this territory. And Jesus answered him after Pilate says, "What have you done?" Jesus says, "My kingdom," in verse 36, "my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would be fighting so that I would not be handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not of this realm." Therefore Pilate said to him, "So you are a king." Jesus answered, "You say correctly that I am a king. For this I have been born, and for this I have come into the world to testify to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" And then he walks away. That's a good question, actually. What is truth? Pilate should have stuck around to hear the answer. But the fact is, if Pilate had been listening at all to what Jesus had been saying in the last 3 years, Jesus had been consistently and constantly providing and proving the answer. He is the truth. I mean, Pilate is standing in the midst of the one who is the truth, asking him, "What is truth?" The irony of it all. But Jesus did not say, "I have come to let everyone know that I'm king." He says, rather, that "I have come to testify of the truth." And that begs the question, the truth of what exactly? First of all, the truth that he has come from the Father. I want you to think about this. So he has a pre-existence with the Father, a conscious pre-existence, a conscious life before the Father. Before his life, he had that with the Father. I don't know, just think about that. How many of us can go back before we were born and think about our conscious existence before we were born when we were with God? And you're saying, "I didn't know that was possible." That's my point. You can't do that because it wasn't possible, because when God created your soul is when he gave you life, to the best of our understanding. And so Jesus is saying that I have a conscious understanding or a conscious comprehension of my life with God before I became a man. John chapter 8, verse 14, he's talking to the Jews here, and he says, "Even if I testify about myself, my testimony is true." For think about what he says. "I know where I came from, and I know where I'm going. You do not know where I came from or where I'm going." You're saying you don't give me any credibility here, but at least I know where I came from and where I'm going. You haven't a clue about me whatsoever, and yet you draw conclusions about me in your ignorance, is what he's saying to them. The Jews refuse to listen, but Jesus provides evidence for all who will listen to him. Secondly, "I testify of the truth that he is the king," he says in so many words. He is born to be king. He is soon to receive a kingdom. The purpose for all the kingdom is to bring you salvation. It's for our salvation. If Jesus is not a king, he has no authority to build a church. If he doesn't have a church, he has no place to put you as those who are redeemed, because he has no authority to do that either. It all comes down to the need for authority to be established, and it takes truth in order to establish authority or for authority to have any effect. And thirdly, he reveals the truth about God, about your soul, about sin, about your salvation, about the afterlife, things that we cannot know otherwise. The only way that you can know about these things at all factually, you can have a guess if you want, but the only way you can know about them factually is if someone from that realm, from the spiritual realm, revealed them to you. And this is what he came to do. Jesus' conduct, his character, his virtue, his holiness is an exact and accurate representation of God. That's right out of Hebrews 1, verse 3. As Jesus is, so is the Father. John chapter 5, verse 19, whatever Jesus did, the Father showed him. John 12, verse 50, whatever Jesus said, the Father told him. So what is happening here when he says, I am the truth, doesn't mean simply I am telling you the truth, although that is true. What he's saying is, I am revealing God to you in myself. That's what he means by the truth. That's what he means when he says, I am the truth. But Jesus did not come to testify to your truth. And that's important to see the distinction here. He didn't come to validate whatever you have come to believe, or whatever you deem important, or whatever you want to passionately defend in your life. He came to testify of his truth, which has everything to do with your soul. His truth, your soul. I am the truth about your soul. I am the truth about what your soul needs, where your soul should be heading, and what's going to happen to you if you choose other than me. He reveals the truth of all those things. This is a really important point I'm making here, whether you see that or not up front, because there's a lot of people today who are very interested in their truth, and they're looking for churches and preachers and gospels and religion to simply validate their truth. They've got an idea of what they want to be true, and they're looking for some kind of validation of that. They're not really looking for the truth. They're looking for their truth, or at least someone to substantiate or acknowledge or confirm their truth as being something important. And sometimes you hear people say, well, I want the truth, I just don't want to change who I am. But that's really unworkable and even unrealistic, because no one can ever remain the same once they are confronted with divine truth. Because once they're confronted with divine truth, that truth either draws them closer to the source of that truth, or it pushes them away from it. And they're the ones making the decision, by the way. It's not the truth. The truth is just simply saying, this is what is true. So it either forces them to be transformed in the process as they draw near to God, or it forces them to be unmasked as being insincere. Remember what I said earlier in the lesson. If Jesus is the truth, then anyone who is not of Jesus, with Jesus, agreeing with Jesus, is not true, is untrue. Even if they claim to be true, and lots of people do, they are actually being insincere, because Jesus has said, I am the truth, and he's proved it. And they're saying, no, I disagree, he's wrong, and my truth is better than him, without any proof whatsoever. That is insincere. That's a foolish way to live. That's just like the Jews, out of ignorance, coming to conclusions about things that are extremely important. Jesus' truth exposes who you are, where you are going, and how your future will be decided. Again, the truth doesn't decide it for you. The truth tells you what it's going to be based on your decision. It's a big difference between those two things. I want you to think, and I've done whole lessons on this next little part here, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time. This is what I was talking about in my introductory comments. You know, we could go in and talk about all these, and I have talked about these. If you think about the implications of his truth is universally applied, which means that it's for everybody. It's not just for Christians. It's not just for the lost or a certain church or a certain religion. His truth is meant for everybody, applies to everybody. When we all stand in judgment, it won't be your truth or this congregation's truth or your religion's truth that God is going to determine what kind of person you were in this life. It will be His truth. And that's really important to understand up front. Also, it is timeless, which means it doesn't get outdated. It doesn't fall apart over time. It doesn't deteriorate. So whatever Jesus says was true in 2,000 years ago, it is still true about God and your soul and sin and salvation in the afterlife today. And it will be 1,000 years from now, too. It is changeless, which means that you can try to change it if you want to, but you can't actually change it. Truth is transcendent. It's way up here, out of reach. And men are always trying to reach for that truth and change it or modify it, but they can't because it is out of their reach. They can ignore it. They can pervert it for themselves. They can discard it. They can disregard it, but they can't change it. And truth also is impartial, which means it favors nobody. Nobody gets a get-out-of-jail-free card. Nobody gets a special privilege. Nobody is favored over someone else. God sees all people through the eyes of truth. And finally, it is singular, which means it's united or unified, always comes to the same conclusion. If something is true, it has one singular conclusion, not many. So just think about those things here, what the implications of this truth are. The fact that Jesus came from a world beyond ours proves that that world does exist. Think about that right there. That He's saying, I came from another world, the spiritual world, and here I am, and I am proving to you my authority and my ability with all my miracles and with all the power that I am exerting through those miracles. He did not merely claim to come to this world from another, but He proved it over and over with irrefutable proofs. The verdict has been substantiated. All you have to do is either agree with it or not. You can't change it. And you can't make it go away. That's another aspect of truth. I didn't put it up here. You can't kill it. Again, you can ignore it. You can refuse it. You can pervert it for yourself. But you can't kill truth. It's always there. John chapter 1, verse 14. The Word, meaning God's Son, became flesh and dwelt among us. We saw His glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. Then John says, the law was given through Moses, meaning that Moses is the mediator of the law of Moses. Grace and truth were realized, or really made manifest, through Jesus Christ. Grace and truth are not two separate things. They are one inseparable doctrine. Whoever is saved by grace is also saved by truth. Whoever is saved by the truth is also, can only be saved by the grace of God. It is impossible otherwise. You say, well, what is the source of grace and truth? Well, that would be Jesus Christ, because it's His ministry, His sacrifice, His blood that brings all these things to life. He is the one who defines and gives us our salvation. He is our grace. He is our truth. Again, how important is that to you? Well, it's extremely important if you want to be saved. You have to be saved by grace and truth. There is no other way to be saved. All right, so far, many might nod in polite agreement and say, well, of course it's true that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Of course it's true that He's the King. Of course it's true that He's the Savior. We get all that. But not everyone is willing to accept where these truths that Jesus said and the truth that Jesus is leads to. As you see on the screen, Jesus is not asking for our polite agreement in this matter. He is insisting really on our full allegiance, our full loyalty to this. Back to John 14 verse 1 through 6 that we read last week. Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father, except through me. So Jesus here is talking about the route to the Father is only through him. He is the only access to the Father. He is the only truth about the Father. If there's anything you know about God the Father, the only way that you can know that it's true is if Jesus confirmed it for you, revealed it to you. Now, he might have revealed that through his own words and his ministry. He might have revealed that through his apostles in the written record of the New Testament, but it came through him. And what that also means is that there's no truth but his truth, just as there's no way but his way. And what that also means is that his truth must be your truth, if indeed you wish to identify with him. And if anyone claims to be following Jesus, but they're not listening to and obeying, not just the doctrine itself, but more importantly, the man himself, Jesus Christ, who he is and what he said, that person is not being true. He is something other than what he claims to be or who he claims to be. And what that means then, this keeps going. There are more implications the further you take this. What that means then is that whatever Jesus said, either through his own words or through his hand-picked apostles, must be taken as more important than what anyone else, including yourself, says. This is not something that we say, well, I know Jesus is true, but I have a friend who says thus and so, and I really value that friendship, so I take that on par with what Jesus said. You are not being truthful when you say that. What I mean by that is not that you're purposely lying, but you are not agreeing with the source of the truth. Because Jesus says, I am the truth. And whatever your friend says, or your relative says, or even you say, or even if I say it, if it's different, that's not true. What it also means is that Jesus has the final say, and that this here is not open for negotiation. If Jesus says something about the Father, and he says this is who the Father is, and or this is what the Father says is necessary for salvation, and this is what's required of someone, then that is what is true. It doesn't mean that you can sit there and say, yeah, but, and then offer your own take on that. And this is what people are doing. People are doing this all over the place. Christians are doing this all over the place. I know the gospel says this, but, and then they go on with this thing that the gospel didn't say. And they're trying to reconcile that thing here with this gospel over here, often because they have a loved one, a friend, an associate, a relative over here that they're trying to protect in some way and defend. But Jesus said this truth over here, and then this person over here is in disagreement with that. You have to make a choice because you can't hold on to both of those. Not in the context of truth, that is. All right. So this is what happens then. We can't allow our friends and our family members or social movements to change or replace the truth. This is the practical application part, is what I was talking about earlier. When we talk about Jesus being the truth, everyone's like, hey, amen, we can agree with that. And then we talk about Jesus as our salvation, amen, we can agree with that. And when we talk about Jesus being grace and truth, amen, we can agree with that. What about when Jesus says, I am the truth, and no one else is the truth? And you have to accept that and wherever that leads. It's like Buck was talking about in class. It's not what we do here in class and all the good comments we make, because we're all going to be on our best behavior. We're all going to say the right things. We all have the right answers. What's going to happen when you're confronted with someone who disagrees with you that you really care about? What are you going to do then? That's what we're talking about right here. And so we have Christians, not just people out in the world, but we even have Christians today saying, is Jesus really the only way to salvation? Is that really true? I know you've all heard this before. Maybe some of you are thinking this, for all I know. So you're saying to yourself, or maybe to someone else, or maybe someone's saying to you, is Jesus really the only way? I've had people, just recently, I had a guy tell me, you know, that there's all these, he was citing the millions of Hindus in the world. He says, I can't believe that millions of Hindus are all going to be lost just because they don't believe in Jesus. Well, what if Jesus is the truth, and that's what Jesus said, that you have to believe in him to get to the Father? What if Jesus is the one saying that, not me, not my religion, and not the Hindus, and not this guy? Think about that. So is Jesus really the only way? Well, left to itself, I don't know, but let's see what the evidence says. What does the truth say about that? That's where we have to be. Or someone says, is baptism really necessary? And the reason they say that is because I've got a bunch of friends that they're not, you know, baptized, but they call themselves Christians, and I think they're good people, and I've known them for a long time, and just because they don't go to our church doesn't mean that they're not saved, right? Y'all heard this before, right? Okay, so this is real stuff. This is relevant stuff. This is where the rubber meets the road stuff right here. Enough about the concept part and the doctrine part. We need to see what the application part is. So is baptism necessary or not? Well, I don't know, left to itself, but let's see what the truth says. Let's see what Jesus says, either in his own words or through his apostles. What do they say is the truth? And let the chips fall where they may. Is denominationalism or anyism really so bad? Because I got a whole bunch of friends that are in denominational circles, and they're good people. And you can't tell me that, you know, they're claiming to worship God and singing songs of praise to God, and you know, and they're doing all kinds of good things. You can't tell me that they're not Christians just because, you know, they don't subscribe to the same doctrine that you subscribe to. Well, actually, it's not my doctrine. I don't own it. I just believe in it. The doctrine is true about salvation regardless of whether Chad believes in it or not. Do you see what happened there? It's not like I have ownership of this doctrine and now I'm foisting it upon everyone else. And I don't get to use the word foisting very often, but I just did. So it's not like we're imposing our doctrine on everyone and then holding them up and saying, you don't agree with our doctrine, you're out, and you do, you're in. We're not doing that, or at least if we are doing it, we need to stop that. That is not our place. Think about what Jesus Christ said, though, about denominationalism, or any ism, or any separation from him, because denominationalism is all about separation. Can my friends who are holding to some modern lifestyle, alternative lifestyle, really be wrong? We're living in an age where we have gender confusion, homosexuality, same-sex marriages being really crammed down our throat, honestly. And I'm seeing a bunch of Christians starting to backpedal now, and they're saying, well, you know, it's not so bad, because I've got friends out there, I've got family members, or I've got coworkers, and they're all really good people. In fact, they love more than some of our Christians love. They're better people than even some of the Christians I know. That's another argument, and that's honestly irrelevant. The relevant part is, what did Jesus say, either himself or through his apostles, about this stuff? That's what you should be paying attention to. Stop listening to all the stuff out there, because of course the world is going to embrace its own. But the world also rejects the truth. You have to make a decision. We're not saying those people, all those people, are hopeless and irredeemable. We're saying that people need to understand what the implications of the truth are. Not just those people out there, first of all, us right here. We need to see what we are to do with that. If Jesus Christ is your truth, think about what I'm saying here. If Jesus Christ is your truth, that means that you ought not to be looking to embrace or practice or defend any so-called truth that stands opposed to him. Because when you do that, you are not being true to him. You are not being loyal to him. You are claiming on one hand, I believe in the truth for my salvation, grace and truth, doctrine, salvation, all these things. I believe in that. Amen. On the other hand, you're saying, but I've got some friends over here and I'm not willing to say what Jesus said about those people. I'm not willing to agree with that. Now you stand in contradiction to what you call your master. You cannot stand for Jesus and at the same time stand against him. And the same is true about truth itself. You cannot say you stand for the truth and at the same time stand opposed to truth. You need to pick one. And that's just to be sincere, at least to yourself. You need to pick one. There's only one good choice there, but you need to make a decision because you can't do them both. I didn't say this, but Jesus did. He who is not with me, notice the me here. It doesn't say my doctrine or my church or Chad or anything like that. He who is not with me is against me. That's in Matthew 12, verse 30. Anyone who opposes Jesus makes himself out to be Jesus' enemy. And that means, that's true, by the way, whether that person is a Christian or not a Christian. If you oppose Jesus, then you are against him. If you are not with Jesus, then you are against him. Because if you're not with Jesus, then you are against the truth that Jesus is. You are not being true. You're not being true to yourself. You're not being true to the Word. You're not being true to God. And most of all, you're not being true to Jesus, who is the truth. And that is true, by the way, for these people out in the world. No matter how much we love and care for them, this is still true. We're not saying stop loving these people, stop caring about them, and stop talking to them, and stop praying for them. We're not saying that whatsoever. Why would you do that? Keep those communications open. Keep those friendships open if you can. But don't sacrifice the truth in order to do that. If they say, I don't want to have anything to do with you because of what you believe, that's their decision. You need to stick with what you believe, if indeed what you believe is true. And Jesus is the one who decides that. Think about this passage here. This isn't said by Jesus, but it is said by Paul, a hand-picked apostle of Jesus Christ. He says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Think about that statement right there. Who is the king over the kingdom of God? What did Jesus say? Remember what he testified of the truth before Pilate. He says, I am indeed a king, not of this world, but I am a king. And I am the king of the kingdom of God, in so many words. And here Paul is saying the unrighteous are not going to inherit or be part of that kingdom where the king reigns. They're not going to be part of his group of people that are going to live forever with the king. Do not be deceived, which means don't be sucked in by something that is not true. Don't be hoodwinked. Don't be lied to and then accept the lie rather than the truth. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. I didn't say that. We didn't say that. Even if we didn't believe in all that, it's still true because God said that. God said that about me as much as he said that about anyone else. If I'm going to be any one of these things, then that is true about me. I am not going to inherit the kingdom of God. Remember, truth has no partiality. It is impartial. So the king is opposed to any kind of, well, fornication, any immorality of any kind, any sexual immorality in particular. He's against premarital sex. I know living together and sleeping together is a big thing right now, and everyone says it's no big deal. Everyone does it. Of course everyone does it. That's not of the truth. But that's not what truthful people do. He says that any kind of idolatry is not of the king. It's not of the truth. And those people will not be with the king who practice it. That is, who continue to practice it. Any kind of adultery, sexual or otherwise, any kind of homosexuality, even that practiced by nice and loving people. And a lot of times those people are nice and loving in their own right. But that doesn't make them true. any kind of theft, stealing money, stealing benefits, hijacking the system, whatever it is, any kind of carnal lust, whether you're lusting after someone's house or car or spouse or children, you get the idea. Whatever opposes the king opposes the kingdom, and whoever opposes the king and his kingdom is not of the truth, and people who are not of the truth are not going to inherit the kingdom. I can't say it any plainer. This is strong language, I know that. But it didn't come from me. And it didn't come from this congregation. And it's not coming from the brotherhood. Even though we all might agree with it, it's not coming from us. It's all included in the I am the truth statement. And this is why we don't get it sometimes, is because we think Jesus is talking about just salvation in a generic forensic sense. And we don't get that that forces us to live the truth, not just agree to it. You and I all have friends, and they're all welcome. You and I, we're all welcome to our opinions. But no Christian is welcome to defy the I am, no matter what subject is discussed, no matter who is involved, no matter how many people are affected, and even regardless of how you feel about it. You do not have permission as a Christian to defy the I am of the truth. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11, after saying all those things that Paul just said, he says, such were some of you, but you were washed, which has reference to baptism. But you were sanctified, which has reference to being consecrated by God. You were justified, which has reference to a legal status, a change from guilty to innocent. You were done, all these things were done for you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. There's so much to say on all this. Basically what Paul is saying, y'all were a big mess and God cleaned you up. And that's how we all were too, any of us who are Christians. We all were a big mess. And the only way we can get cleaned up is by God. And the only way we can get cleaned up by God is through the truth, because that's how God operates. But the fact here is that we are not baptized into our friends and our family. We are baptized into Christ. We are not sanctified by our friends and our family. We are sanctified by Christ and the Holy Spirit. And we are not justified by our friends and our family. We are justified, if indeed we are Christians, genuinely, we are justified by Jesus Christ. It takes an act of God to save us. And it takes the truth of God to reveal that salvation. Jesus Christ is the truth of God. That's where it always takes us. The truth and Jesus are not two different things. They are one and the same. So what is truth? Good question. But not an unanswerable one. We don't need humanists to answer it for us, or moralists, or philosophers, or Oprah, or anyone else. We don't need our non-Christians friends, or non-Christian friends, that is, or our non-Christian family to interpret that for us either. All we need is someone who knows more and has greater authority than all the rest of those people, and that would be Jesus Christ. What many claim to be true or the truth is just simply their opinions, nothing more, but opinions cannot prepare you for what is coming. And it won't prepare you for what is in the hereafter. In order to rightly, sufficiently, and properly be prepared, what you need is the truth. Jesus did not come as a mere spokesman for the truth. He came to reveal himself as the Son of God and the source of truth and the truth. He didn't say, I have more truth than all others, although that is true, but that's not what he said. Rather, he said, I am the truth, the full, accurate, perfect knowledge of God and your soul and your salvation. So the question is not here, as we've been ending our series lessons, the question is not, is Jesus the truth? Because he is the truth, and he's proven that with powerful and convincing and irrefutable miracles. The real question is Jesus your truth? Are you embracing and practicing and defending who he is and what he taught? Or do you find yourself being all loyal to Jesus Christ on Sunday when you're with Christians, but then siding with your family and your friends who are not Christians throughout the rest of the week? And you're kind of going both ways at once, thinking that you can actually do that successfully. Jesus says, he who is not with me is against me. You're not being true to your Lord, to your Master, to your Savior when you do that. You and I cannot afford to have a divided loyalty, a divided heart, or a divided faith. We can love all those who reject the truth, but we ought never to let them persuade us to rob our honor and allegiance of our Lord and Savior. Think about what Jesus said. I'm almost done here. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. Everyone who wants the truth, seeks for the truth, search for the truth, and is ready to embrace the truth, they listen to Jesus. And if you truly listen, then you will obey. And if you obey, then you'll walk the path of light and truth and life. And if you walk that path, you'll put Jesus Christ ahead of everyone else, including yourself. He'll be ahead of all your other loves and lords and pursuits. And if you do all that, then in the end, you, not by your own power, but by your decision, you will be with God. And that's where God wants you, is with him. This is all true, not because I said it. In fact, it's true even if I don't say it. It's true because Jesus said it. Because he reigns as king over God's kingdom, he's proven all this, and he's able to make it all happen exactly the way he said it. If there's anyone here this morning who needs to become a Christian, what are you waiting for? This is the time. You know the truth. If there's anyone here who is already a Christian, but you haven't been walking the path. You haven't been loyal to your Lord. You've been siding with friends and family during the week and been all, you know, Christian-like here on Sunday. That's a divided allegiance. You need to choose one or the other. I would highly recommend you choose to stay with Jesus. But if you need to make any of that publicly known, this would be your time to come forward if you need to, as we stand and sing the song Richard selected for us.